Many of you know that I recently made a trip home to see my ailing father. He's about 88 years old. I was home just for a week. It all ended well. My father made a rather remarkable recovery. And those of you who know me, many of you said to me that my presence with him is what did it. Now, really speaking, my brother is the one who made the first visit. He's actually feeling a little left out these days. But he was the one who saw him through his first hospitalization. And then he was hospitalized a second time, and then I decided that I would go and see him. And when I went there, I discovered that everybody in the neighborhood knew that I was coming. Every visitor that came home, my parents said to him, to them, "My son is coming." It's as if, because I came, everything would be all right. And that's exactly how it worked out. My father made what I call an almost miraculous recovery. While I cannot fail to acknowledge the work that the medical community did with him, and I cannot but acknowledge God's tremendous grace and God's presence, I think it was my presence and my brother's presence that made a huge difference. Our presence became, for my father, a sign of hope, gave him peace and assurance. Folks, today is Christmas, and I want to reflect on Christmas as a feast of presence. As a feast of presence. The Son has come. God is present to us. At Christmas, what God gives us is God's presence. On that first Christmas, God became irrevocably and radically present to the world. Like never before and forever. The Son had come. Darkness gave way to light. Hope gave way to despair. Mourning gave way to rejoicing. The gloom had lifted. Abandonment had been vanished. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, present forever. Let me talk about this presence just a little bit more. Do it in 3 points. All of Advent, we have been reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The first reading has been from Isaiah. Today's reading is the climax of all those readings. Did you notice the tone of today's first reading? I'm not just calling it happiness, I'm not just calling it joy, I'm calling it the thrill that the reading expresses. The thrill of the coming of the Messiah is compared to a nation that has had a bumper harvest. Now, in our times, we may not appreciate this much. We are not a farming community, so we may not appreciate this much. But if harvest failed for the people of biblical times, it meant death for hundreds of people, perhaps thousands. Today, if the harvest fails, we just import food from other nations. But that wasn't the case then. People were thrilled at a marvelous harvest because it meant security. It gave them the assurance of survival. Now, elsewhere in Isaiah, the thrill is also in the reverse direction. Not only do people rejoice over God's coming, but God rejoices over God's people. So the thrill is also from God's side. In fact, in Isaiah, God's enduring presence with people is compared to the ecstatic delirium of a newly wedded couple. Those of you who are married, you remember those moments when you first got married. You remember that thrill? That's what God's presence is compared to. The thrill of God's presence is such. Thus, when Isaiah says in today's first reading, "A child has been born to us, a son is given us," he's referring to the thrill of God's presence. But this is no ordinary presence. This is no ordinary son. This is the Son of God. The Son of God is simply present to us. Secondly, it is Christmas. Specially decorated church, gorgeous music, our festivities, the clothes that we are wearing today, carefully chosen, the people that we are with, all of these tell us that it's Christmas. For us Catholics, what Christmas stands for can be every day. In fact, this should be every day. On Ripley's Believe It or Not, there's a guy who celebrates Christmas every day. I don't know if you've seen this, but he sends himself Christmas cards every day. And he wraps presents and he delivers them every day. Thus far, he has spent $500,000 British pounds doing this. This is true. But this guy's not wrong. For us Catholics, what is Christmas should be every day. For example, prayer is simply being present to God. Many people think of prayer as a chore, something they have to do. But really, prayer is simply being present to God, available to God, because God is available to us. The sacraments are the clearest sign of Emmanuel, God with us. From the time we are born, all till the time that we die, we celebrate God's presence. So, for example, in baptism, God is present to this child. As we mature and become adults, through First Communion and Confirmation, God is present to us. God is present when young and not very young people find love and they decide to make life together in marriage. When we are ill, God is present to the sacrament of the sick. God is even present when we depart from this world. God is present every day in the Eucharist. And finally, God is present to us for eternity, forever. Christmas is what did it. God is present to us forever. And I believe that God's presence works for us in the same way that my presence worked for my father. I didn't do anything. I was simply there. And my presence brought him comfort and assurance and hope. God doesn't have to do anything. God is simply present to us. Eternity is present to us. It is His presence that brings us hope and peace and the assurance of salvation. Presence. Now, my third point, I'm not going to say much. I would like to use a song, and the purpose of the song really is not to exhibit talent, so I'm asking you not to clap at the end of it all. However, I would like us to use the words of the song to simply be present to God. If you were at the manger, if you were at the manger on that day, the way in which you could be present to God, I'm going to invite you to do the same. It's a meditation. If you want to kneel, you may kneel. If you want to close your eyes, you may close your eyes. But may I please ask you to use the words of this song. In today's gospel reading, the shepherds to whom the angel appeared, these were the poorest of people, poorest of people. Why the angels appeared to them and not to anybody else, we do not know. All we know is that the shepherds made themselves present at the manger. I'm asking you to have the heart of those shepherds.
The heavens.
heavens roar, the angels sing, all glory to our God and King. O night divine, forevermore, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ the Savior of the world, He has come. Alleluia, alleluia. To the highest name of all, name of all, alleluia. I'm always intrigued by the fact that many people missed the first Christmas. In spite of the star, in spite of the choirs of angels, in spite of centuries of prophecies, the first Christmas simply passed people by. Today, as we come to celebrate this Eucharist, folks, we realize that Christmas happens right here on this altar. The manger is not out there, the manger is right in our midst. On this altar, the Word becomes flesh. God becomes present to us. Here is Emmanuel, God with us.